So I will be reading the scripture that Mia chose from Ecclesiastes 6, 7 to 9. And this is for homily number 1 on the cardinal sin of gluttony. All human toil is for the mouth, yet the appetite is not satisfied. For what advantage have the wise over fools? And what do the poor have who know how to conduct themselves before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire. This also is vanity and a chasing after wind. Blessings to you, Mia.
So like Randy said, I will be doing the first section, or the first homily on gluttony. So I was reflecting a little bit about the other homilies that we've done this summer in this summer series. And we've talked about envy and greed, two of them. And so I was thinking about how gluttony connects with envy and greed. And the word that came to me was trust. And we'll go into that a little bit later as we move into the cardinal sin of gluttony. So gluttony, when you think of it, can be related to food. It can mean overindulging in food. But gluttony can be so much more than just overindulging in food, though a lot of the times it is focused on food. The root of gluttony is a fear of scarcity, that there won't be enough. Gluttony is a misplaced hunger and is mistrust of God's providence. The virtue of temperance and the practice of enough reminds us that we need not fear, for God provides all we need, because there is enough. What does anyone gain from having too much? Unfortunately, we live in a world that tells us that if we only have more of this or that, that we would be happier. People grow up thinking that money and possessions are the key to happiness, that you can go out to a store and buy happiness. And maybe that's true for a second or two. But then down the road, is it really going to make you happy for the rest of your life? Because the thing is we're never going to be satisfied with what we have. We're always going to be wanting more. And the world that we live in is very materialistic, which is where we get this whole idea of needing more and wanting more. So in a world that is so materialistic, how do we keep our eyes and our hearts centered on God, because he is always providing us enough, whether that be food, money, clothing, even time? So I did some research on the verse that Randy just read from Ecclesiastes, from the Believer's Church Bible commentary that we have in our library. And this one was written by Douglas B. Miller. And he kind of breaks up these couple verses into three different sections of human effort. So the first one is toil. And the definition of toil is working really hard for something, just endlessly working at it until you achieve whatever it is that you are trying to achieve. So when it comes to gluttony, we are always toiling for something that we want. We're always toiling for having more, to be satisfied, always chasing something. And like I said, but we never are satisfied, even though we're working hard to try to settle our satisfaction. And this, then, I think, can connect back into greed. Because when we are toiling for something that we do not have, it can easily turn to greed. We're greedy. We want more. And then where does this greed come from? Well, it can come from envy, because we look at the people around us, we see what they have, and we're like, man, if we had that, we'd be happy. They look so much happier than I do because they have this, they have that, and if only I had this or that, then maybe I'll be satisfied. Maybe I would be happy. And you've heard the saying that the grass is not always greener on the other side. And it's true, if you really think about it. If we put in as much love and attention as we think we would if we had whatever our neighbors had, just imagine how our grass would grow and flourish because we put time and effort into what we already have instead of trying to chase after something that we don't have. The next one that is addressed is this idea of wisdom. And this, if you read Ecclesiastes, is addressed in it a couple of times. And it focuses more on the poor of not having advantage or not having as much advantage as the wise. And with a world that is so materialistic, we are also aware that there's a lot of people in this world who do not have everything that we have. They don't have enough food. They don't have enough money. They may not always know where their next paycheck is coming from or even where their next meal is coming from. So for us, why do we not trust God when we know that we have more than enough, that we will be okay? I've heard stories from people who live day to day not knowing where their next meal is coming from or where their next paycheck is coming from, and they solely have to rely on God to provide for them. And it always strikes me because their faith in God always seems so much stronger than mine because they have to rely on Him day to day. But when we know where our next meal is coming from, when we know that we have enough to make it through the next day, we tend to not always turn to God. We tend to not even think about it that much because we know that we're going to have enough and we don't need to worry about it. So like I said, it goes back to my question, how do we turn our faces and our hearts to God and put our trust back in Him, even though we do have more than enough? The last effort that is talked about out of these verses is pleasure. The end of verse 9 reads, This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind, meaning that when we try to go after what we think we need, is like chasing the wind. And I don't know about you guys, if you guys have ever tried to chase the wind, you're never going to catch it. And that is exactly, I think, what gluttony is about. Always wanting more, and you can always get more, but you're never going to be satisfied, just like you're never going to be able to catch the wind. So instead, like I said earlier, why don't we start watering our own grass and looking at what we already have instead of what our neighbors have? Why are we saying, God, if only I had this or that, when we should be saying, thank you, God, for what I already have? So today, my challenge for you is let's start by counting our blessings and naming them one by one and see what God has already done for us instead of counting the things that we want and that we think that we need.
Our living God is always shaping us and moving us towards something new that God is doing. And here in this sermon series, we see how God is taking this disoriented love, these cardinal sins, and through the love of God in Christ Jesus, and these spiritual disciplines, shapes us and molds us and forms us into the new thing that God is doing. It's spiritual formation. And so now this scripture that Mia has this morning for us to reflect upon from Isaiah 58, 6 to 12. Listen for the new thing, the new shaping that God is doing. Is not this the fast that I chose? To loose the bonds of injustice? To undo the thongs of the yoke? To let the oppressed go free? And to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and He will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in.
So our second homily will be focused on fasting, and turning our eyes back to God. So kind of like with gluttony, fasting, when you think of fasting, again, you think about fasting from food. But again, it's not always about food. Fasting can be giving up something in a religious practice in order to put your concentration back on God. And we talked about control and trusting God. So here's my challenge, or here's what I've been thinking about. What if we fasted from control for ourselves, giving up some of that control that we have and giving it to God? Now, you may be thinking, I don't have that much control. And that's something that I ask myself as well. But how much in everyday life do we plan our schedules around ourselves and not around God? When was the last time you woke up and the first thing you thought was, I wonder what God has in store for me today, instead of what is on my agenda for myself today? Speaking for myself, I am one who likes to have a schedule. I don't like change. I like to know exactly what's happening every minute of the day. You can ask my father about this, and then afterwards ask him what parenting means to him. Happy Father's Day. Change for me has not always been easy. It's actually something that is quite scary, and it can be something very small, or it can be something really big. When I was learning how to drive, I freaked out because I realized I had control of the car, and that meant I actually had to turn the wheel in order to go someplace. Let's just say the one evening in the parking lot, I refused to turn the wheel because I was afraid it was going to fall off. That put a stop to practice for quite a while, until I learned up to give up some of that control. Why are we so afraid to trust in God when we know that God will provide and that He will work things out for our good? Now, that does not always mean that if we give up control to God that we're going to get everything that we want. That's not how life works. But I can guarantee you that when we give that trust to God, no matter how scary it is, He's going to meet us halfway, and He's going to be there with us as we give up that control and as we go through our day, no matter how scary it is. In the fall, I was challenged in this whole idea of giving up control and trusting God. As many of you know, I had a practicum in the spring in Charlottesville, Virginia, and this all took place in the fall, about figuring out where we were going and making connections with the people that we are going to be working with. Unfortunately, the teacher who was supposed to be in charge of this wasn't meeting us halfway. And I started to realize that there might be a small chance that I wasn't going to get a practicum in the spring. And that scared me, because that meant that would change the plans for the rest of the year. And I didn't like that. And I felt like I had no control of the situation. I just had to sit there and kind of let things fall where they fall. And that was probably my first major breakdown in college, was about this practicum and not sure if I was going to get it. So I met with one of my advisors. She drove from Charlottesville the next morning very early to meet with me. And though she couldn't do anything much either, she gave me assurance. And then we gave it to God. And lo and behold, the next day, I was driving home, as it was the weekend of my birthday. It's not a very fun week, but it turned out for good. I was driving along, and I know you're not supposed to be checking your phone or anything like that when you're driving, because it's bad. But there was something inside of me that said, check your school email, which I don't really check my school email unless I have to. And so I quickly took out my phone and checked my email, and there was an email from my professor saying, there is a practicum placement for you in Charlottesville, Virginia. This was not more than 12 hours after we had met, and God had already answered the prayers. That's what God does when we trust Him. When we put our full trust in Him and say, there's nothing I can do anymore about this. This is your time. This is yours. He meets us halfway. God knows our deepest fears. He knows all of our dreams, and He knows our wishes. He sees us, every single one of us, and He sees us for who we are. No matter how much we try to hide from Him, He sees everything that we are. All God asks for us is to trust Him. And like I keep on saying, He will make sure that we have everything we need. Unlike humans, God will not let us down. God will satisfy our needs in this world, and the only thing that can satisfy our needs is Him. So when we turn from our own selfish thoughts and the thoughts of needing more, 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 and turning our eyes to God, He will not let us down, and He will provide for us because He loves us. It's as simple as that. He loves us. So He will make sure that we have everything that we need. I want you to take a moment and think about one area in your life that you want to give to God right now and say, God, I want to give you control of this in my life. So just take one quick second, close your eyes, take a deep breath, and just let it out and give it to Him. He wants us to give up our control to Him, like I said, because He loves us. And I know it's hard to give control. I mean, I'm speaking for myself as well. It's not easy. Lucky for us, we serve a patient and loving God, and He will wait for us until we are ready to fully give that control to Him. So this week, let's focus on giving up that control and focus on God. Let's start thinking about others and how we can show God's love to others, because when we show that love to our brothers and sisters, we are showing God's love to them. And the people that we serve may not always be thankful, and they might not always be the most gracious. But remember that God sees us for who we are. He sees our hearts, and He will see when our hearts and our minds are turned to Him. So this week, let's give up some of that control and give it to Him. And also, let's take some time to not focus on ourselves and think about what we need, but let's also think about what those around us need.